Good morning. Good morning. It's a little bit past 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Again, I want to thank Jay Lanigan. What a great contributor to the program and to the community he is. Been a friend of mine for decades now. And he was at last night's meeting, and I thought it was an important meeting. I really did. It started out, you know, really as a parking meeting. And they got into economic development. And again, I think there were a lot of good quotes last night, a lot of good clips. But I thought Ian Abreu saying, enough with the NIMBY, enough with the not in my backyard, you know, and it developed into a discussion of increasing the tax base and all of that. So I appreciate Jay Lanigan for taking time out of his really busy schedule to join me this morning and to enlighten you guys and hopefully advance the conversation. Because remember, as goes New Bedford, goes the region. And that's very important. Our problems are minor compared to what's going on in Providence. I know you've been following this story. I'm sure you've been dying to talk about this story. It is bizarre. Bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. The shooting at Brown University. Look, Brown University is an American institution, whether you have any direct connection or not, as is Harvard and MIT and Yale and Dartmouth and Princeton, right? These are American institutions of higher learning, extraordinarily valuable to our economy, to our society. So when they are attacked, we are all attacked, all right? Now, I have some direct connections to Brown University. As I said, Mark Stokowski, who runs the radio stations here in this building and around, actually a couple other ones around New England, Mark's a graduate of there. Other people in the hierarchy of Town Square Media are Brown graduates. Family members of mine are graduates of Brown. I've been to see speakers at Brown University. I go to Providence on a regular basis. The restaurants. I saw Bob Dylan there about a year ago now. I was having lunch there at the Aurora Club not that long ago on Federal Hill. A lot of us do shopping in Providence. I said someone I know was at a concert there recently, on Friday night. Other people who I know of were locked in their hotel room on Saturday night because of the shooting at Brown University. Providence is a major part of our economy. And I got to tell you, I originally thought first of all, I'm very sympathetic to Mayor Smiley and his team. Nobody wants to have this happen in their city. That's an obvious statement. Have a high-profile shooting. I mean, the shootings all the time in Providence. Don't get me wrong. There are shootings, certainly in South Providence. But you don't see it at a place like Brown University. There are shootings in Cambridge, but rarely at Harvard, right? You see shootings in Boston all the time, but not in Faneuil Hall. You know, there are certain cultural institutions that you don't think of when you think of urban crime. But I got to tell you, I think that the situation in Providence is getting worse by the day. First, they announce the city's in a lockdown. And that's understandable. Totally understandable. And then they announce they've got a person of interest detained out of a hotel room in Coventry. Federal agents are all over the place. State police, Providence police, everywhere. The city's in a lockdown. And Mayor Smiley comes to the cameras and lifts the lockdown because they believe they've got the guy. So people can move about in the city. And it turns out to be the wrong guy. And just now, they're releasing more video. There's questions as to, did someone say something? Did the shooter say something? Perhaps an Arabic phrase or a Muslim phrase, like Ali Akbar, God is great, which is traditionally said by terrorists of the Muslim type before they do an attack, a suicide bomber, things like that. And that's being disputed. Maybe that didn't happen. Maybe it did happen. And meanwhile, the shooter is on the loose. They could easily be here in Massachusetts. They could easily be in Rhode Island. What say you? Are you concerned about it? Are you disappointed? Are you surprised? Do you have a theory on this? What say you about what's happening in the city of Providence after the shooting at Brown University? 508-996-05. Here's a little clip from the press conference held yesterday by Mayor Smiley.
Brett Smiley, I'm joined with Governor McKee, who we will hear from in just a moment. We're also joined by Senator Jack Reed and Congressman Gabe Amo, and we will hear from Senator Jack Reed in a moment on behalf of Rhode Island's federal delegation, who've been in touch with us throughout this incident over the last day. And as both the governor and I have said on multiple occasions, the amount of federal resources and cooperation that we've received is extraordinary. And that extends to our representatives here in Rhode Island. And then finally, Colonel Oscar Perez will give an update as well. At this time, we have no update to share on the investigation. It is ongoing. There's no reason to believe that we've hit any roadblocks, other than to say that we are doing what we know how to do in cooperation with our law enforcement partners to ensure that we adequately, thoroughly investigate the situation. And when we are ready to make a further announcement, we will do so. We know there's some information circulating, but we will not share any information that might compromise our investigation or future charges. So at this time, we have no official updates to share with respect to the investigation. Next, it's clear that our community is still in shock and hurting. And now that the initial phase of the investigation has made some progress, we're turning our attention to caring for our neighbors, both the Brown community, the broader Providence community, and truly all of Rhode Island. The City of Providence has stood up a website, the address of which is providenceri.gov/community-response-resources. There you can find a long list of community resources for mental health care, what to do in the event of trauma, how to help talk about events like this with your kids, to try to help families, neighbors, community members start to understand how to process that.
Okay, so that's a little clip from Brett Smiley, the mayor of Providence. And again, I thought he was doing a very good job at the start of this. And I'm going to, hold back my criticism because I don't know how I would handle it, right? The fact of the matter is he's not out there looking for the shooter. I would assume is a large role being played by the federal government. We had the agent from in charge from Boston who's come down to Providence, and he was doing a lot of bragging at the start of this when they caught the wrong person, it turns out. Really. Saying this is your modern FBI, and this is your FBI, this is what we do. And it turns out what they did is they got the wrong guy. They got the wrong guy. What say you? 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Hey, hanging in there. You know what's really bizarre about this whole thing? Is Brown University and the president. How there isn't one video at all in all their security cameras of the individual. Doesn't that strike as really strange to you, Chris?
It's extraordinarily strange. What do you make of it?
I make of it the president of Brown is trying to hide something from the public. I mean, don't you think that the individual that went out, the shooter, they could have probably a better profile on the guy, a better imaging of him? I saw I was watching the press conference yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and they showed the images of the so-called the shooter, and they put them all together. I noticed some anomalies. Some of the one of the images, and they had them all side by side. One had what appears to be a sweater with a little zipper up towards the top, like a hoodie, and then another one it shows him walking by a wrought iron fence with a zip down jacket that's open, wearing gloves and glasses. And then another one shows another guy that doesn't look anything like the other two photos. So this whole thing is really strange. And the more the days go by, that individual is just going to disappear.
Yes, I think that's a major concern. You know, when you collapse the perimeter, people slip right through. There's nothing to slip through. They just go, right?
So, there's a lot of heat being put on Fred Smiley. There's a lot of heat being put on the governor, Governor McGee.
Yeah.
But what of the crickets when it comes to the president of Brown University? Well, that guy has no heat, no criticism. This guy's just hiding. Where is he? Like yesterday, he should have been at what? Reporter said, where's the president of Brown? Shouldn't be here at the press conference answering our questions. And they were asking, some of the reporters were asking Mayor Smiley, but he says, that's not something I can answer.
Right.
That's something that you're going to have to ask the president of Brown.
I heard
you're going to have to go and see him and answer those questions.
Yeah.
Because there's just almost like this veil of secrecy. And, two people get killed and 9 injured, and the president Brown is nowhere to be found. Like, he's hiding under his desk. What the hell's going on?
Thank you for the call, my friend. I believe the president of Brown is, in fact, a woman. Neither here nor there. I just didn't want to have that go out over the air. That's a man, as if I didn't know. So I think I believe it's a woman. I believe. Look, I would have to say that I don't believe the president of Brown is withholding information on purpose, okay? I really don't think they're in a position to do that, not in a murder investigation, not in a fugitive pursuit. I don't believe, and I could be wrong, that the president of Brown University is withholding information. If you think back to the Tsarnaevs, the Marathon bombing, and who is withholding information in that from the local police who may have known the bombers. They did know the bombers. I wonder if we've got a situation, and it's dangerous to speculate, similar to the Tsarnaevs. Okay, if you remember the Tsarnaevs, they one of them, or at least one of them, was a federal informant involved with the federal government. And that was a big part of the problem. Was we had Michelle McPhee on the program a number of times talk about her book and her investigation into the Marathon bombing and the fact that the federal government had a relationship with Speed Bump Tsarnaev, right? Not the one at UMass Dartmouth, but the one who was crushed by a car in Watertown. And had to do with anti-terrorism and what they were doing. And it was, it literally blew up in their face. So I don't think that the president of a university has the kind of holding power to withhold information. I could be wrong. I certainly could be wrong. 508-996-0500. What say you? Talking about the shooting at Brown University and the fallout from it. The shooter is still on the loose. Still on the loose. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. What I've found out is just, you know, kind of following this story about Brown University, what I've found out, and the officials have not made mention of it at all, but the professor in the room was a professor of Judaic studies at Brown, and the girl that actually that passed away, sadly, was the president of the Campus Republican
yes
organization. And but you didn't hear any mention by either the media or the officials there, you know, kind of possibly tying things together. I think that especially on that day, because that was the first day of Hanukkah, and that was the same day that the mass shooting occurred down in Australia. They didn't, you know, maybe think that, hey, maybe these two are related as far as the motivation behind it.
Yeah, you know? I would say to you, I do think that that's certainly a crucial component to the shooting.
Yeah.
The fact that it's Hanukkah and no doubt, in my opinion, no doubt about it, and that was a Judaic studies class. I don't know if the fact that she was in the Republicans has any point to it, but it may. It very well may.
Right. Nobody mentioned that. People had to look. We in the public had to look for those things to try to figure it out ourselves. That to me would be an obvious kind of red flag right there. Okay, maybe there's some motive behind it. Who are we looking for?
I do, yeah.
And now they're saying that, oh, that perhaps the guy was muttering something, possibly in Arabic. That's pretty important too.
You know, though, I've heard conflicting stories about that. I've heard that the person was saying something in Arabic, yelling something, but also that none of that was true. So it's kind of fog of war, you know?
Yeah. It's really hard. It's easy to think of these things in hypotheticals, like what would I do?
Right.
And I mentioned this yesterday. What would I do in the spur of the moment, in the heat of the moment? What would I do? It's easy to imagine those things, but
yes,
it's a little bit different when you got bullets.
Of course. Someone complained that nobody took a picture of the shooter. I said,
what I said yesterday.
You did?
Yeah,
oh, you did? Yeah, well.
You know, if I had the camera if I had the phone in my pocket and I was there, I could say, yeah, why didn't I just, but it, when every second matters and you've got bullets flying at you, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, my friend, as always. Look, I, like many of you, went through basic training, and they fire bullets over your head. You're under a barbed wire fence crawling, and it still scares the hell out of you, right? You know intellectually the bullets can't hit you. You got to climb through a barbed wire fence, and they'll stop firing the guns before you get through the fence. But still, you got those tracer rounds coming in over your head. Even if they're like 7-8 feet above your head, it doesn't feel that way. I can't even imagine, you know, having bullets being fired at me. And I've got friends who've had that experience. And they didn't wonder why they didn't take a picture, right? Anyway, I see you on hold. If you want to get through, it's 508-996-0500. Two open phone lines. Looking for your opinion on what's happening down in Providence, what happened in Providence, why. Seems like a good thing to talk about today, an important thing to talk about. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
The suspect in Saturday's deadly shooting at Brown, an attack that killed two students, left nine others injured.
Authorities have now released new video and images of the suspected gunman. Police say this is the same person seen in the surveillance video first released in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, but that video only showed the man from behind. Investigators are urging anyone with video, photos, or information to come forward.
We have team coverage this morning. Joe Cortez will have the very latest on the...
So that is Channel 12's coverage. You can find it online at WPRI. I think they've been doing an amazing job covering the story. I got a lot of friends over there at Channel 12, but I just think that they've been doing a marvelous job. And the thing that Channel 12 has that really nobody else has is they've got Colonel Stephen O'Donnell. Colonel O'Donnell was the head of the state police in Rhode Island, giving insight to the audience that, you know, really a very unique perspective to have the colonel of the Rhode Island State Police as a member of the staff over at Channel 12, WPRI. So I think it's been, they've done marvelous coverage, I think, of what is a very difficult subject. The shooting at Brown University is terrifying. I was talking with someone this morning about how open a lot of buildings are. You know, people are saying now, hey, how could the guy just get into the Brown University building? Well, those buildings are generally pretty open. Tim and I and somebody else were talking about it earlier, about getting into other college and university buildings around the region. That this person was telling us how shocked they were able to get right in. And I think my experience, and it was post 9/11, has been that a lot of buildings are open, college buildings, public buildings. We've got to have a society here. We can't just lock everything down. You just can't. You just can't lock things down. Nor do I think you have to. I really don't. I feel pretty safe wherever I am. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm not really worried about being a victim of a mass shooting. I just don't think I'm that important. I mean, I know that most people who do get shot by a mass shooter are not celebrity style, anything like that. They're not that important. I mean, they're important people in the sense that everybody's important, but you know what I mean. They're not high profile people. These kids are at the Ivy League school, but they weren't particularly high profile. And why would a person go into a classroom and just start shooting people on a weekend? How would they know they were even there, right? How would they know they were even there unless they are somehow connected to the university, unless they've been stalking the university? Was it a local person who had a problem with a local student, you know? It may have been as simple as someone didn't like somebody else and they went and shot him. And it happened to be at Brown University, right? It happened to be at the start of Hanukkah that those are coincidences, right? That it was an Ivy League school at the start of Hanukkah, but that had nothing to do with it. It could be a boyfriend, girlfriend, jealous lover type situation. And quite frankly, it appears to me that the police don't know what happened and why it happened. And every day that goes by, Providence looks worse. I really have a hard time blaming the university because I don't know how sophisticated that police department is. You would hope that it's more sophisticated than it appears to be, but I don't know. I don't know how much Brown University prepares to be a target. Right? I really don't know. 508-996-05 so I can get on the program talking about Brown University and the horrible shooting that happened there this weekend. And the fact that the shooter, they have very little video, and if they have it, they're holding it back for whatever reason. And the fact that the shooter is out and about, able to cause other damage. It's terrible. It really is a terrible situation. You know, upgrading your home's efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions. Whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps, they even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting for you. The other one I think is doing a great job covering this is John DePietro. He has an online, it's on YouTube News, it's on YouTube, X and Facebook, John DePietro. Used to be a talk radio guy in Rhode Island and Boston. Today he does like live remote news. Really interesting. I think John DePietro really doing a great job down there on this story. He's also one after Doc, keeping up with the demographics of Rhode Island. Stick around. We'll be right back. Taking a break.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. I would have thought that more people were interested in this story than they really are, at least the callers. major shooting in a capital of a state, Rhode Island, who we share an economy with. I don't know about you, but I'm over in Providence all the time. And I got a lot of friends over there, people who work over there, people who socialize, people who shop over there. And they get shot up in a major institution. Do you think it was a terrorist attack? Do you think that Hanukkah had anything to do with it? Do you think it was an attack on the Jewish people? I really don't know. I tend to think it probably was, and not a coincidence, that they attacked a professor of Judaic studies. But I don't know. And what a terrible job by federal law enforcement, state law enforcement, local Providence law enforcement. You know me, I'm normally a huge defender of law enforcement. But in a city like Providence, loaded with cameras, they don't have any real video. Two kind of questionable videos. What's happening? Does it shake your faith in law enforcement, at least in Rhode Island? Would that happen here? I don't think so. I really don't. I think if this happened at any of the big universities in Boston, I would think there'd be lots of video. I think there would be lots and lots of video. Maybe I'm wrong. But we know there are video cameras all over New Bedford. They're used regularly to solve crimes. Ring cameras. I mean, look, I listen to the scanner. It's kind of constantly on in the background for me. And you'll hear if there's a shooting in New Bedford, the detectives are out going door to door. The patrolmen are out going door to door looking for ring camera video. You hear them on the radio talking about it. And it's used to solve crimes. The idea that the city of Providence doesn't have cameras, that Brown University doesn't have more cameras, seems to me to be either a total dereliction or for some reason they're not being completely forthcoming. I'd hate to say that, but we do know from the Marathon bombing, believe me, read Michelle McPhee's book on it, the Marathon bombing, the local police always felt that the federal police knew more than they were letting on about the Tsarnaevs. They didn't know they were the Tsarnaevs. There is a scene in Michelle McPhee's book where they're all in an airplane hangar, federal, state, and local law enforcement. That was the nerve center of the investigation after the bombing. And they had pictures. Federal law enforcement had pictures. And all of a sudden, local law enforcement and state police knew that the feds had the pictures and they weren't showing them. And that there was something going on. There was some collusion going on. And of course, if you read Michelle McPhee's entire book, you realize many of people in federal law enforcement recognized the Tsarnaevs. And they didn't say anything. Anyway, is that a possibility for what's going on here. 508-996-0. We'll get some people on hold now. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Chris, real quick, because I'm heading out. Last night on Fox, there was a former FBI profiler on. He was saying the University, Brown University, has a $7 billion endowment. That's $7 billion with a B.
Yes.
It would cost them about $100,000 to upgrade their surveillance cameras. So you got to wonder, where are the priorities of Brown University? And that endowment is probably a pittance compared to Harvard and Yale. And one of the excuses I heard was, well, you know, it's an old building. That doesn't matter anymore. You got to have cameras coming and going in and out.
I agree with you. And then the other thing I've heard is that that's an old neighborhood with very expensive houses. But I would think those people have Ring cameras, too. I mean, Ring cameras have been around for a number of years now, and a lot of people have them.
Right. I mean, what little video evidence we have right now is it appears to be off of Ring cameras. You know, we're not getting a close-up of this guy's face, but we are seeing, you know, him walking down the street. We've got a rough idea. He's 5'8" and stocky. Boy, that applies to a lot of people in this world.
It really does. It does. And the other thing is that, and I know maybe they don't want to cause a panic by saying reporting what some of the things that may have been said. But I think at this point in time, we're beyond that, don't you? In other words, get as much information out.
Yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, in the craziness of this weekend with everything that went on, I think a lot of people have, because I know nobody's brought this up, but what about the FBI arresting 4 terrorists? It was either yesterday or the day before, that plan on igniting 5 pipe bombs in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve in 5 separate locations, all timed out to go off at midnight. I mean, this only gets nuttier by the day. Chris, you need a scorecard to keep up with this.
No, and those are pro-Palestinian activists, my understanding.
Correct. In fact, they said after New Year's, they're going after ICE. This was their whole plan. And the only reason this came down on their head is because an FBI informant infiltrated their pack rats, or whatever you call them, you know.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Does the FBI have more information than they're letting out? Do the state police in Rhode Island have more information? Do the Providence police have more information? I find it hard to believe that Brown University would be capable and willing to withhold information from law enforcement, right? I don't think they will do that. I don't think that anybody involved on the university side would be willing to do that. That would be a major risk, right? Criminally, professionally, morally, to withhold information. I just don't see them as having the ability or the willingness to do that. I could be totally wrong, and I'd be sad if that was the truth. I just don't think that the leadership of Brown University is in a position to do that. I don't. I really don't. For a lot of reasons, but most importantly, that if they were caught doing that, the ramifications would be immense, immense. I mean, if you've got information that would narrow it down to make an arrest and you're withholding it, that's criminal, obviously, and totally immoral. I just find that hard to believe. And I also think that the state police, the Providence police, and the FBI have so much egg on their face now that they would put the information out as soon as possible. But again, I could be wrong. What say you? 508-996-0. Talking about the shooting at Brown University down in Providence, Rhode Island. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening, Nick?
Not too much. Yeah, I noticed there's two things going on that they caught my ear. And one was the shooting in Australia.
Yeah.
And the other one is this Brown University here. And I think there's parallels going on there. Because over in Australia, all I was hearing from the mainstream media and different veins of it was that a father and son had shot up Jewish people on a Jewish holiday on the beach. That's all they were saying. Now, it turns out that there's a little bit more to that story. The guys who were running around going Allah Akbar or something like that, and also there was a hero in there, an Australian, that tackled one of them and almost got killed on account of it. I guess he's in critical condition now.
Yes.
But I don't hear anything on the mainstream media about this hero. That should be one of the main elements of the story. This hero, Australian hero, attacked them, and also that they were Muslims trying to kill Jewish people. And then when I, another thing that caught my ear was I was listening to a story about the Brown University thing.
Yes.
So I'm saying to myself, on Australia, they're not giving us the names. I bet my bottom dollar those guys are Arabs. But they're not giving me the names. And then I hear the Brown University story, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, one of the victims was blah, 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 blah. You know, they give his Muslim name. So the message that I'm getting is it's okay if they're a victim to mention the names, but if they're a perpetrator, don't put it out. It seems to me if it's happening in Australia and Brown at the same time, that there's some kind of a sentiment out there between the wokesters, the liberals, or the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, that don't give a bad image to the Muslims.
I think that's, and thanks for the call, Nick, as always. I think that's been going on for a little while, quite a while, actually. This sentiment, you know, every time there's an attack on a Jewish person, you have a politician, particularly the Democrat type, who says, well, there's also anti-Arab sentiment out there, right? They always seem to marry those two as if they're identical, and they really aren't. They really aren't. Take a break, and then we'll be right back. I see you on hold. Stick around. We'll come right back. Supply has the deals you need. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ, now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with lifetime warranty, just $219 after rebate. 500 rounds of ammunition. 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. Gift cards are available in any denomination for the hard to buy for sportsmen. Find all the best deals at Shooting Supply, right on State Road in Westport, or go to shootingsupply.com. When you go there, also, if you don't have a handgun license, ask them, how do I get my handgun license? How do I get my gun license? They've got classes at Shooting Supply. Get all set up for the new year, right? All right.